Welcome to a Prevent Connect podcast, where we explore the prevention of violence against women. This is a project of the California Coalition Against Sexual Assault.
Hello, this is Ashley Meyer of Prevent Connect. I'm really excited today to talk to you about coaching programs and athletics in the college context and preventing sexual violence. I'm here with my colleague, Sari Lipset. Hi, Sari.
Hello. Hey there.
And we're also joined by Holly Ryder Milkovich, who's the Director of Sexual Assault Prevention and Awareness Center at the University of Michigan. So welcome, Holly.
Thank you. I'm so glad to be having this conversation with you both.
Great. And so, Holly, Sari actually suggested that we have a conversation with you because she learned about your program at the University of Michigan.
Yeah, we're really proud of the program that we've created with coaches. As an institution that has a major athletics program, it was really important to make sure that we were partnering with our athletic department, with our coaches, to not only make sure that we're reaching our student athletes, but to really engage coaches as a part of our team of prevention.
So how did you begin the work with coaches? Was it easy to engage them? Did you find it difficult at all? What was the process like for you all?
We were really lucky at Michigan in that our president and our executive officers made the decision early on that we're not going to isolate athletics and our student athletes from the work that the rest of the student body was engaging in. And so our athletic director really sent the message down to say, this is important. This is something that is my expectation that every coach will be involved in, that will be a part of every team culture. And so we were able to get to work with coaches to identify what was the kind of training that they felt they needed in order to be engaged and invested in this work, be prepared for the work, and also how could we make sure that we were speaking their language and speaking the language of their athletes when we're talking about preventing sexual violence and helping our coaches as well as our student athletes to be engaged and active bystanders in preventing harm.
That's really wonderful. It brings up a couple of questions for me. One is I'm wondering then, what is that training that they really felt that they needed? And the other point is that here in our CalCASA and Prevent Connect campus and prevention programs, we really hear from campus-based individuals that it's really hard to get to that level of administration like you're saying you were able to do. So I'm also wondering if there are any keys to that that you would like to share.
One of the keys that we found really helpful was that we made sure that our entire athletics program had full participation and they had support and felt like this policy belonged to them as well. And then from there, we went to them to say, hey, we think that your community has specific needs and specific interests that we want to make sure that we're addressing appropriately. We also know that your coaches have special relationships with their athletes and with athlete parents. We respect that. We want to make sure that that is enhanced by the work that we're doing and not undermined in any way.
That's so great because we often talk about the need to do things like community assessments and the need to really engage your audience and really incorporate them authentically into the solution that you're proposing for that audience, for that community. It sounds like you've done that on this large kind of campus community setting.
Yeah, and you know, so what coaches really told us was, first of all, that we needed to be respectful of the fact that students' athletes' lives were very different from the lives of other students, that they had really closely scheduled time periods, that we needed to be able to be flexible in the presenting of the material, and also that these coaches were more likely to be involved in these students' lives. And so as we were creating resources and sharing this information with students, that we needed to make sure that coaches were also prepared to do that follow-up. And so what coaches also told us was that, you know, they needed more background context for why this issue was important, specifically as it relates to things that they care about. So it's not just the conversation about how can we make sure that we are meeting the laws and achieving compliance. Those are very important. It's also about how does this create team wins? How does this develop team cohesion? How does this make your team more likely to be standing on the champion's seat at the end of the season?
you really identified what is it that would bring coaches to do this kind of work that you're asking of them, what would really engage them in that. And I'm wondering then, so what does particularly the prevention part of this training that you do, I know it covers from prevention to response, everywhere in between, what does the prevention part of this training look like?
We focus specifically on bystander intervention for coaches. And so, first of all, we needed to make sure that they were receiving bystander intervention training and that our institutional expectations for them in being proactive bystanders with other coaching staff as well as with their athletes was something that they absolutely understand what the institutional expectations were, but also that we gave them the tools and the resources to be able to intervene, and that we gave them practice in identifying, you know, what those situations of potential harm to their team and then to our community could be. One of the things that we identified early on with coaches is that they're not necessarily as attuned as some of us are to the low-level kinds of harms, for example, language that is sexist in nature or other kinds of behavior that we would identify as harmful, not necessarily is going to rise to the purview of a coach who hasn't received that training. And so that was a really important first component, was having coaches practice identifying what are the kinds of things that there would be an expectation that they would intervene in, and then giving them opportunities to test out different ways that they would address it according to, you know, who was the person who was committing the potential harm.
And how did you feel the coaches responded to the bystander training at first?
Coaches were receptive, and, you know, coaches are already addressing a wide range of behavior in their team that could potentially undermine team cohesiveness. And so asking them to extend that framework to look at these other situations of harm, once we talked about how it could potentially impact the team, and the coaches were really a lot more invested and wanted to be able to do what was expected of them as well.
I noticed in your training materials, Holly, that you really include sexual violence as a part of a range of behaviors that obviously should be prevented and that coaches should be addressing directly, and you really stress that direct action for coaches.
Yes, absolutely. So what we tell coaches is that whereas their athletes have a number of different tools at their disposal for addressing behaviors of harm, that our expectation of them as coaches is that they are going to be addressing these matters directly, and also that they would be engaging in intervention directly with their colleagues as well, so that we create an expectation across the entire athletic department of what reinforces our community values and what is not going to be allowed because it undermines team performance. And lastly, because there are federal expectations that we address it effectively.
So you're talking about shifting community and campus culture as well as changing social norms.
Oh, yeah, no question about it. And some coaches did express some discomfort at the idea that they would potentially intervene in situations that they might have identified as being a private matter or personal business that they might not necessarily have a role to play in. And so it did take a while for some coaches to get comfortable with the idea that something that they may have considered a private matter or not related to their role was something that it was important that they address. And again, linking that back to our interest not only in creating a safe environment for learning, but also to enhance their team's performance was one of the keys that got them on board.
Oh, that's so great to hear. And for our audience, this is Ashley Meyer with Prevent Connect. I've been talking with Holly Ryder-Milkovich from the University of Michigan, the Director of Sexual Assault Prevention and Awareness Center there. And we're talking about coaching, training coaches, and working with athletics to prevent sexual violence on campus. And Sari Lipset, my colleague with Prevent Connect in Calcasa, is here with me as well. And Holly, I'm wondering then, what is next? What comes next after you do this training with the coaches? It sounds like it's part of something even bigger.
It is. So we deliver our training to coaches. Once they receive that training, those coaches really become a part of our training staff. And so we're then delivering training to all incoming athletes, and we integrate the bystander action expectation into the team values and the team rules, really adopting the language that the coaches use with their particular athletes in their coaching expectations, and adapt those to model the bystander action that we're expecting of our athletes.
And I noticed that in your training materials, you also mentioned cultural appropriation. Can you explain what you do around that topic?
Absolutely. So one of the things that we are sensitive to and that we focus on in our bystander training is that these are applicable to a wide variety of harms, including harms that communities experience when others culturally appropriate their traditions and their values and their customs for purposes that they're not intended. And so we use this moment to really think about how it is that we can, you know, use those bystander intervention skills to address the cultural appropriation, that these are the kinds of harms that bystander intervention is intended to help our community address.
This is really great, and I'm thinking that, you know, you're at a Big Ten school. I know Ashley and I both went to Big Ten schools, and I'm wondering how you think this can work, or if it can work in other types of campuses around the country that might be of a different size or a different community.
As you look at what really are the resources that campuses need, the first thing that campuses need is the will to enact this kind of training in a comprehensive way across their athletic program. And the second thing is collaboration and trust. And for the professionals who are working to deliver that training, have a lot of respect for the particular pressures that coaches are under to perform, and to be respectful of some of the constraints and to be willing to work with those coaches. The other thing I think is really important is to just recognize and value that these coaches have strong relationships with both athletes and with parents. Harness that work that's already been done and integrate the sexual violence prevention messaging into that ethos that's already been set by the coaches.
So great to talk about that ethos and really integrating sexual violence prevention and really sexual health promotion, relationship health promotion into, like you said, what the coaches are already doing. And when you're talking, it's sounding to me like you really know this audience. You know athletics. You've done your homework, which is what we always encourage folks to do. Know who they're working with. Know what their concerns are and what their priorities are. And I'm just wondering if there's anything that you think that kind of got you there or helped you to do that.
We benefited from some tough, well-intended talk early on from our athletics department who said, hey, listen, our athletes don't have a lot of time, and they also don't have a lot of patience for presenters who don't speak their language. So if we're going to do this training, we want to have an opportunity to check out these scenarios that you're writing to make sure that they resonate with our athletes. And I think that that really made a difference, so that the training is very specific to student athlete experiences and the realities of a coach's life as well.
You're just such a concrete example of really having those partnerships and working in partnerships through different departments, all of those things, even beyond sexual violence prevention that we hope to see on a college campus. So where can folks go to continue to learn more about what you're doing at the University of Michigan?
For those who are interested in seeing the training materials that we use, I would encourage you to contact me at the University of Michigan, and that would be HBURMEIS@umich.edu. You can drop me a line. I'd be more than happy to continue the conversation offline.
So wonderful. Thank you so much for joining us, Holly. And we just continue to find more and more examples of great work that's being done. And so thank you for sharing about the fabulous work at the University of Michigan.
Well, thank you.
Thank you for listening to this Prevent Connect podcast. Prevent Connect is a project of the California Coalition Against Sexual Assault, with funding from the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention. The views presented on Prevent Connect are not necessarily the views of the United States government, the CDC, or CalCASA. To learn more about Prevent Connect, visit www.preventconnect.org. For more information about CalCASA's mission or to show your support, visit calcasa.org. That's CALCASA.org.